God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand, and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! Oh, yeah. Aru, Chippy Canoe, and Steven Tyler, too. Welcome to your presently orbiting saucer pod. Tonight we are above Damascus, giving moral support to the Assad forces and a thumbs down to ZATO, Zionist armies of wherever, and the vampire elite and their terrorist armies. We're radiating waves of support for the Turkish people in their battle with Zionist stooge Erdogan, as well as radiating around the globe on behalf of all peoples oppressed by bankers, their lackey governments, and private police forces masquerading as public servants. We are radiating out into the minds of all standing and active armies to say, awaken to your state. Awaken to the unfortunate truth that you have been pawns and cannon fodder of bankers whose sole purpose on this planet is to suck the life's blood from every living thing. Blood is what they drink. For food, they prefer torment and fear. I'm going with a new format this evening. No one has ever said anything to me about this, but I thought I would back off on the machine gun delivery and embrace a more laid-back and laconic style. I'm not planning on turning into a surfer dude, just making the most of fewer words. As stated or inferred over at Visible Origami earlier, the signs do finally seem to indicate the potential for wild and crazy action in the short term. Those who fantasize themselves as being our rulers are losing their grip on the reins. On those reins they once imagined they had a firmer control over. This, of course, is the intended destiny for them, and they will certainly completely lose control at some point. However, at this stage, when they are only experiencing momentary bouts of insecurity and confusion, the greater likelihood is that they will feel compelled to do something significantly outrageous, which they hope will give them a greater sense of control. Every now and then, something happens that affects the public's perception of their leadership. It might not do much for the rest of us who have long known about these things happening. But for those who have been suspended in a clueless ooze, it sends shockwaves through the formerly comatose system. The idea that the government would be spying on every single available detail of everyone doing anything, anywhere, is sending sparks 50 feet into the air, off of the grapevine and along the coconut telegraph, not to mention the usual Cloaca Maximus media outlets. There was already a great deal of unrest going on. due to the intentionally hammered economic system. The widespread mortgage scams as well, and the falling job market, and a host of other unpleasant things that have been impacting on a whole lot of people. Now the idea is beginning to dawn on a not insignificant portion of the population that a 1984-style police state is very much on the horizon, is, in fact, in place. Of course, the government, those deluded fools who think they are running things, have been aware for some time that eventually the things that they have been up to would result in a great deal of, open rebellion, and they have been preparing to meet this when it happens. For some time, Israel has been insinuating itself into every area of the American infrastructure of government, and of course other nations as well, and law enforcement especially, I would say. They are behind the new brutishness of the American police, and a whole lot of other things that most people don't pay much attention to. It's not going to end well. No matter what direction it goes in, that's how it looks at the moment. Given extreme depravity on the one hand and the herd consciousness on the other. Still, a lot of things can affect herd consciousness. A lightning storm could start a stampede. Parts of the herd might wake up, and realize they are not meant to be cattle, and that could lead to all sorts of interesting things. It should be a no-brainer, but you have to have a brain for that term to apply. Should be a no-brainer that material culture does not end well, and that it gets worse and worse before that happens. In the beginning, it all seemed like a great idea. The engines of prosperity were cranking, and there are all these new devices and conveniences to mess around with. It's unfortunate that there are these regular wars that come and go, but they add a lot of revenue to the economy and create jobs in various industries that look to the activity of war for their profits. And materialism goes through several stages in the same way that cancer moves through a body. If the cancer isn't treated, it reaches a terminal stage, and after that, nothing can be done. The cancer of materialism affects not only the system it is operating under, but it affects all of the organisms who are living inside of it. If any particular organism becomes aware of the reality of the conditions they are living in, their survival instinct should kick in, and they should head out somewhere. Unfortunately, most of the time there's a collective awareness that binds the organisms together at a certain level and prevents them from becoming aware of what is happening to them. In the later stages of materialism, there are certain parasites that move in and begin to feed upon the host system. They only leave when all the nutrients and resources have been consumed or extracted. They give the different systems that control the flow of society names that define the political structures and other forces that predominate in any particular system. But the names aren't important. They are simply tools for the agents of materialism. Materialism is not just a condition where material goods are the primary focus of the population. Materialism is also a state of mind, precisely because it is the primary focus of the population. Another thing that materialism is a mental illness, seen with pure objectivity, this cannot be in dispute. It is an incipient and progressive disorder that just gets worse and worse. One of the primary byproducts of materialism is stress, and that is why in material culture there is such an epidemic of heart attacks and strokes. Pervasive aggression and ubiquitous selfishness are also the fruits of materialism. Any number of disorders come out of it, but many of these are not seen as disorders by those under the spell of materialism. For those under the spell of materialism, the abnormal seems normal and is explained as normal by the information systems that proliferate in material culture. Having to live in material culture can be very difficult for the spiritually inclined. It can look like a wasteland with no exit apparent. It can be hard to know what to do when one is in material culture and not in a position to simply go away somewhere else. For any number of reasons, which I don't have to list, and which the listener is, I would think, surely aware of, one would hope. Many people of a spiritual bent have serious difficulty engaging in regular spiritual disciplines and practices. The force of material culture is antithetical to these things. Material culture is aware of what is unlike it. There is a consciousness in it. It's been given different names, like Mammon. There are a few things that any conscious seeker needs to be aware of. Otherwise, they're going to be confused until they are aware. These things all have to do with the possession of a mindset. It is very beneficial to see material culture as a conscious thing, and the spiritual realm as a conscious thing. It is important to remember that the spiritual is always more powerful than the material, unless one thinks otherwise. The material realm impacts on the human senses all the time. Spiritual realm is invisible for most of us, so we can see where the material realm would have a pronounced advantage over the spiritual realm in terms of getting one's attention, and this accounts for all the hearts and minds so completely seduced by material culture. And when material culture is at its strongest points, it exerts a serious influence on the survival and appetite centers of the human form. All the advertising, entertainment, music, and otherwise is geared to these centers so it looks like a normal life. Normal compared to what? One would have to be insane to look around them in these times and have the impression the world was sane. It is those people who do, in fact, take this world as rational, based on the principle of business as usual, that are engaged in so many insane acts, who follow so many insane orders, who kill people with drones from a distance, who steal people's homes, livelihoods, and savings, and who have perfectly good arguments for all of these things. These arguments are apparently good enough to convince many other people that these are acceptable. Yet people know these things aren't acceptable, especially when they happen to them personally. Terrible things have been taking place and nothing has been done about them because of the power, seeming power, of the agents of materialism. It's all a bit ludicrous, isn't it? All the forces of materialism are in league with each other, pinging off of each other, for the one purpose of subjugating human consciousness. There's a war on people, and it is not the war in Syria, or the war seeking to emerge in any number of other places. It's a war for human souls. We are in that time of harvesting. And it's been mentioned here numerous times about the conclusion of a 26,000-year cycle and the beginning of another. There's nothing coincidental about any of this. The close of a cycle, the tenor of the times, the mass of population, all the souls that were intent on being here or compelled to be here, it's all connected. What are we to do about this state we find ourselves in this uncertain world of the moment? Is our fate and destiny linked to that of all the people we pass by in our days who see this world and its events in such a different way than we do? Are we destined to the same end as those who believe in this corrupt system and who are reaping massive profits from it as well as causing widespread injuries to others as a matter of course in their daily affairs? We are doing none of these things. We are not in favor of these things. We would never engage in these kinds of things. It may be that some fortuitous judgment comes out of the sky and incinerates the evil in our midst. It could be large cataclysms will come upon the land and wipe it clean. It could be that the much-feared final war to end all wars takes place. It could be that some incredible and miraculous transformation of consciousness occurs and we see ourselves as we truly are. No harm, no foul, except where there is, and that all gets fixed in the mix. Everything works out serendipitously. It could happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I am led to believe that I'm personally going to soon be living somewhere further away from material culture than I've ever been. I suppose that's no coincidence either, though I am not in that location yet. Anything can happen. I live by the day from moment to moment. Each morning I awaken, expecting that maybe today is the day that the whole world changes. It hasn't yet. I expect it will change somehow. Well, I don't know if this broadcast has been optimistic or pessimistic. I think that's fitting. Indeed, the prognosis is both at the same time. Depending on you, what you're engaged in, what you say and do. We are the actors in the movie of our life. We can look back and get some idea of where we've been and what we've done. It won't be a clear picture, of course, given that we don't even know what is good and evil, except in a relative and subjective sense. Of course, the majority of us color our lives and explain ourselves to ourselves according to justifications rendered for most anything and everything. How accurate we are will be determined at some further reach. For the moment, we are in this moment. One more snapshot of life, as it appears to be at a specific time. It is a vastly, vastly different moment for many of us. Some of us are in dire straits at this very moment, and some of us are in possession of more than most people could ever dream of having. Both these conditions are subject to change, and they can change in the blink of an eye, or so it might seem to those so affected. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, a three-quarter speed broadcast, and you'll hear from me next week if there is one. Until that time, may the loving consciousness that interpenetrates existence interpenetrate you and come alive in you and illuminate you forever and ever. Amen. That said, Om Amitabha. Greetings, Lord Ganesha. La ilaha il alahu. Karyan Baha'u'llah. Hare Krishna. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Aloha and Aru.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.